Our sermon series is going to be Grace and Truth. Grace and Truth. I'm going to be speaking this week and next week, and then Beatty and Blake are going to weigh in on this over this month. But grace and truth. I've experienced some levels of the grace of God that I really can't even explain to you unless you've been where I've been or other people have been where they've been. Everybody has a story. Everybody has something they've gone through that you cannot describe to you this amazing grace that God gives you when you're in those moments. Now, I'm going to be talking about grace and truth. And when I get to the truth section, don't think I'm being hardcore, because I have experienced some grace so much so that I couldn't even get up out of the bed. So it's really, I understand the reality of the grace of God. I couldn't even get out of the bed. I was in such a pit. But God lifted me up. And so I know what grace is about. I know there's a supernatural thing that happens. We do grace. But there's a whole lot of stuff in our society that's almost too much grace and not enough truth. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today in our passage that we're going to be, it's going to be the undergirding passage upon which all this series is John 1, verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you could slap that up there, I'd appreciate it. "John testified about Him and cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ. We hear a lot about God's grace, and we should hear a lot about His grace. And Jesus' love for humanity, I think that's the starting point that we need to start from. And so we need to hear that. But it seems like in many ways, people have taken that to almost to an extreme. Now, the Bible used to be held up as a standard for truth. Now, it's pretty much, some just disregard the Bible altogether. He said He's full of grace and truth. So when we're trying to figure out the truth, most people have this moment where it's like, I sense this even some in the church. There's different churches that will get up and they'll change the interpretation of the Bible, reinterpret it, in order to, which I say is violating the Scripture, to accommodate societal views and societal norms and accepted behavior, even within the church. Some people just disregard the Bible altogether, and I understand that. I mean, this is America. You can have whatever view you want to have. What really bothers me is when people try to change the Bible and try to make it say something that it's not saying to accommodate societal norms. So it's almost gotten to the point that it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're not a non-traditional person or if you're young. I'm not trying to pick on the young people, but it's a fact. Or from the top all the way to the bottom of our society, political parties, political ladders, there's this view of almost as extended of grace. How many times did you get on the TV and you hear a minister, and there's some good ones on there, am I saying they're not? Very often are they going to say anything about the truth. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. Come to Him. You know, it makes it almost easy. But if you really serve Jesus, it's not that easy sometimes. There's some things you have to, you know. So it's almost like this overextension of grace, not all the time. Like I said, I believe most of the time that's what we need to talk about is the grace of God. But when the grace becomes to the point that God has no expectation on us, we're losing the truth. So many people have created their own God, their own Jesus. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I can live however I want to live, and we don't want to put any obligations. Like, God has no expectations on us. Oh, I just love you so much. And He does. That's the thing. But we almost take it to the extreme, but He has no expectations on me. I can live how I want to live, do what I want to do. After all, the law says I can smoke marijuana, you know what I'm saying, in Colorado and other places. That's all right. You know, there's no expectations upon lifestyle because, oh, Jesus loves me. And Jesus becomes our own Santa Claus. It becomes me-centered, the gospel, versus Christ-centered. Because I create a God after my own desires. Because he doesn't care. He's grace. Put that picture up on that I have up here. It's a scales. Have you got your scale you can show me? All right, look at here on this pen. Oh, it's a scale where grace is heavier than truth. I would say most of the time when you talk about God these days, grace is so beyond what the truth says. So much more of a heavy emphasis on grace. And I normally am all about more emphasis on grace because I've experienced grace. And I know that it's true. But you're leaving out the gospel of truth. Because it says he came here and it says that he is grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to the other extreme and you're all about truth, what does that take you? That takes you to be some legalism. You can't do this, you can't do that. If you go to a restaurant on Sunday, you're going to hell. I mean, you get this legalistic, you can't wear this. Pastor Eddie, you don't have a tie and a suit on in church. You are in big trouble. How dare you get up and say you're a man of God? You can get into this pharisaical, self-righteous, judgmental, and Lord, I hate to say, Christians who are that way. And I'm like, where's the grace? Where's the love? So you turn out to be this loveless, hateful, pharisaical individual who's judging everybody. Everybody's wrong but you. You're right. You're self-righteous. You're not righteousness by God. You're self-righteous. So that's the other extreme where truth, you see on our scale, becomes so heavy that there's no grace. And I believe the reason why there's so much of an emphasis on grace in certain parties these day and time is because there's been so much of that, I'm judging, I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. And I feel like people have swung the pendulum, or they've swung it over here of grace to where now it's like there's no truth. You can do whatever you want to do. Me and God got an understanding. He's fine with everything I do, say, think, and live because his love and grace covers me. Well, he's not all right with everything we do, say, and think. He's not all right with it. Let me just say that again. He's not all right with everything we say and do. Myself included. I'm not up here being all self-righteous. By the grace of God, I'll fall on my knees and say, Lord, help me. So what we're trying to find is the next picture. Do we have a picture of the next one? Where truth and grace, we're trying to find a middle ground where they're equal. Where we're giving extension of the grace of God. We're extending this to him, to people, treating people the way they need to be treated, even if they disagree with you. See, that's for some reason, those who are legalistic in their Christian faith can't stand anybody who disagrees with them. What kind of love is that? Jesus disagreed with a lot of people, but what was he doing? He was eating with them. He was with tax collectors who were the rejects of the Jewish society because they were accommodating the Roman, they were working for the Romans and abusing their own people. But yet he went with them and talked with them. He been with them. That's not how Jesus operated. So grace and truth is what we're striving for. Where we can love somebody we disagree with, even disagree with their life, what they do, what they believe, but yet love them the same way and respect them the same way that they should be respected, the way Jesus would respect them. I was looking at something the other day somebody wrote something up on the internet, and thank God you can't believe everything's on the internet, right? You know, if y'all got that point, everything that's posted on Facebook, you don't just take it as, oh man, that's got to be anyway. Anyway, so when I'm reading through stuff, you know, people post about Christianity and stuff, I read one article and I was just like, no wonder nobody wants to serve God after that self-righteous mess that you just put on there. Didn't talk about the grace of God one bit. Then you go to the other extreme. I read other articles. I'm like, well, where's the gospel in that? And so there's so much of that out there, and we're trying to find the middle ground. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. That was my introduction, by the way. All right. I know it was sort of long, but that was the introduction. Lord Jesus, thank you for your help this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we would know your love for all humanity, that we would have a better understanding of your grace and a better understanding of the truth and who you are. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to do is go down verse by verse here in verses 14 through 17 and just talk about them a little bit. Now, there's a whole lot that can be said beyond what I'm saying. That's why we got 4 weeks of this. So when you leave out of here today, say, Andy, you should have wrote this verse. You should have said this verse. We're getting to it. So we're just hang in there as we go down this process as we're trying to learn something from God. One thing about it, you know, I've been serving God. I've been here in the ministry about 25 years, a couple years before that. And I was in college serving God. You know, I've been involved with some kind of Christian ministry for 30 years or more. And I'm still learning. I went and got an MDiv. You know, I feel like I know less now than I did then. I mean, it's amazing. The more you study, the more there is to know. You basically, when you study, you find out how much there is to know. Before I started studying that, I thought there was just, you know, my world was this big. But when I started studying and having to think about things from other things, my world got this big, then I realized, man, the world is big. There's so much I don't understand and so much that I don't get. So that's why when I say, I don't care how many degrees you got, your relationship with God is always growing. It's always expanding. It's always there. I met PhDs who are telling me all the stuff God is doing in their life. I thought about getting a PhD one day, but I think that was like a fleeting second, and I just said, my wife said, if you want to stay married. No, she didn't say that, but I knew it was in her mind when I thought I got the MDiv. I knew she was thinking that, but I didn't say it. She didn't say it. Thank God. She's too holy to say it, but she would think it anyway. But let's define grace. What is grace? What is the definition of grace? That'll help us have a better understanding. It is approximately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. It's a favorable influence of God, divine influence, or the influence of his spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. The application of God's righteousness to the sinner. A state of reconciliation to God. That's what grace is. And what is truth? Truth is to conformity to a fact or reality. Exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. The truth of history constitutes its whole value. We rely on the truth of the scriptural prophecies. Truth, state of facts or things. The duty of a court of justice is to discover the truth. Witnesses are sworn to declare the truth, etc. Conformity of words to thoughts. Veracity. Current opinion, etc., etc. The truth. And I dare say today that I believe the truth is in Jesus. It's the truth of who he is and what he did. We see in verse 14 here as we go down here in John 1, 14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt in the Greek actually means to pitch a tent, tabernacle. Pitch a tent, literally. That means he came here, he pitched a tent. And the point that I want to make in this is there's this closeness of Jesus. The fact that he would come, you know, Jesus existed as a Son of God before he came to earth. In the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a created being, like some would say. He was not a prophet. He was a prophet, but that was not his identity in that sense. But there's a closeness of Jesus. He said he dwelt among us and we saw his glory. Mankind was able to look upon his beauty. There's this closeness that you have with Jesus. I mean, this is an example of the fact that God is right here, right now. He tabernacled with us. He built a tent outside our tent. In other words, he was our neighbor, in a sense, if you want to go to modern terms, since we're not living in tents. Well, most of us aren't anyway. were living in a home, and he built his home right next to us. Remember a few weeks ago, I was preaching, I got up into my wife's face. I got a cold today, so I'm not going to do that. And I just said, this is the closeness of God in his face. That's what we're talking about. That there is a closeness with Jesus. That we can know him. That we can walk with him. That we can have this grace poured out upon us. It says he's full of grace and truth. There's this glory that we have with God. That he can be close to him. Y'all understand what I mean by being close? He pours out his spirit upon us. He's there with us. You're not alone. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. I love that song. He's a good, good father. I'm loved by him. I'm not going to start singing. I had to get Daryl up here to sing it if I start, keep going. But he's a good, good father. That's who he is. He has the character of grace and truth in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the truth. See, the grace is, I'm here for you. But this is one of the truths that we have to hold to when we're talking about the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's not other avenues. Now, I know that sounds like we're being exclusive, but Jesus said it. He said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And so if we deny the truth of that, then all roads lead to heaven. Everything is fine. Everybody's good. Everybody's fine. But we need Jesus, according to what the Scriptures teach us. So there's a real closeness to God, that I can have an intimate relationship with Jesus because of this tabernacle. He tabernacled next to me, to mankind. Y'all follow what I'm trying to say here? And then we see in the next verse, John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Now he's basically talking about here that, you know, Jesus was a higher rank, obviously. He existed before John. He became the incarnation of God and the man. That's what he became. A little aside note. You don't mind if I take a little aside on this a minute? I just find it interesting how God uses families sometimes. John and Jesus were like probably cousins. Isn't that interesting? Maybe it's interesting to me. Maybe nobody else is interested in that. But the fact that they were cousins, that they probably knew each other. This wasn't the first time when he saw Jesus and he came baptized. That wasn't the first time John the Baptist had ever talked to Jesus. Now, they probably lived in different areas, so they probably didn't see each other that often, but they were friends. It's interesting that some of the disciples were brothers, James and John, Peter and Andrew, a couple others, they wonder if they were. It's amazing how God uses family. But so much so was his discernment that he said, even though you're my cousin, you existed before me. Now, I don't know, that's significant to me. Just like I've said in the past, I was amazed that the brothers of Jesus actually worshipped him because he knew him. But here he is, his cousin, saying the same thing. He existed before me. Makes you wonder if they ever went outside and played and got dirty together and got all nasty and, you know, makes me wonder. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me. I enjoy thinking about some of those things that the Bible doesn't really say much about. But anyway, there's this pre-incarnation of the Son of God. Here again, we're seeing God being so graceful that he would send his only son to be like us, to walk like us, to have the grace of God poured out upon us, but yet he also came in truth that who he was. Follow what I'm trying to say. The third thing was here, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Jesus held nothing back from us. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. In other words, double grace. Anybody excited about that at all? Double grace. In other words, we had grace in the Old Testament, but he gave us more grace. He gave us more grace to come upon us. Because with his Holy Spirit, he's there for us. He's with us. The fullness we have all received. Those of us who are saved in here today, we have received the salvation of God. We've received his adoption. We received the Holy Spirit. We received all the benefits of being a child of God. Our inheritance, the fruits of the Spirit, our healing for our bodies, our prayers to be answered. We received it all. He didn't hold back anything from you. Now, it's easy to say, God, I don't believe. Why aren't you doing what I'm telling you to do? Well, first off, that's not how you approach God anyway. First thing is, I'd be the first one to say, I don't understand why things happen in this world. But I know that I have a God who loves me and who's there for me when the bad things do happen. It's interesting to me that God will put you in a position sometimes and you're thinking, I'm in God's will. Everything should be fine and dandy. But it's not always the case. Sometimes bad things happen even when you're in God's will. The truth is, some things are going to happen that I don't understand. We live in a fallen world. But He has given us everything we need. He's given us the grace that we need. He's given us the power that we need to overcome whatever happens in your life. He's given it all to you. He hadn't held back anything from us. He's there for us, full of grace and truth. You know, I've had moments in my life where I've questioned God's grace. And I have had some deep, dark moments in my life where I was so discouraged, so into the pit of despair, that I began to wonder, you know, God, do you really love me? Do you really care what happens to me? What about His grace? What about faith? I was in faith, and it didn't happen. I had a child that died back about 15 years ago, my second son. I was so depressed, so to the bottom of the pit. Anybody ever been there? I can't even describe to you how low I was. But there's something about this Jesus. There's something about this grace that He gives us. That no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, no matter where you are in your life, if you will grab a hold and believe that He's there for you, He's there for you. I've seen God pick me up. I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't roll out of bed the next morning. But somehow, some way, Jesus got me and got me up and got me dressed and got me moving. All of us probably have a story. We can talk about that. God didn't hold back anything from us who love Him. He didn't hold back anything, but He's full of grace. He's full of truth. And so this grace is so powerful. It's so amazing if we couple it with truth. If you couple truth with grace, man, how powerful it will be. It will change your life. It will radically change your life. F.F. Bruce said this, "There is no limit to the supply of grace which God has at His people's disposal in Christ." No limit to His grace. What you going through today? What's happening in your life today? We got an answer for you. The grace of God. The free, unmerited love and favor of God. The spring and source of all benefits men receive from Him. The biggest part of this grace is Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no man may boast." For by grace you have been saved. So the grace is there. But we have to be saved through Jesus. That's the truth. What's our response to that? Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this is after Peter had spoken and he had preached the gospel to them. 3,000 people were present, maybe more. Then when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, repent. He didn't just say, and I'm not trying to be mean here, he didn't just say, "Oh, just come to Jesus. Just let me pray this prayer over you, and all your problems will be solved." Is that what he said? Man, it's awful quiet in here today. Am I being too serious? up here. But he said, repent. In other words, he has some expectations. God has some expectations. Let me say it again. God has some expectations. We're not saved because of what we do. We're saved by grace. But if you truly know Jesus, you're going to love him. You're going to serve him. You're going to want, as a result of what he's done for you, you're going to want to live for him and serve him and love him. And then in that, the last one is here, grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of grace in the Old Testament. Sometimes God gets a bad rap almost in the Old Testament. You know, there's many times he could have killed the children of Israel, killed Moses, done other things like that. But he had mercy and grace in the Old Testament. And he forgave and he... the critics of the Old Testament, all I hear is, I can't believe this happened and this happened and this happened. That is so wrong. Let me tell you one thing about the Bible, which I appreciate. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat people's bad behaviors. And the one thing about the grace of God is if you look at some of the Abraham, you look at David, look at these people, they did some bad things. But because of his grace, he still used them to bring about his redemptive history when Jesus came through their lineage. David was an adulterer and a murderer, but yet he repented. Talk about mercy and grace. You know, he had some judgments that came in his life because of the different wars and things after that. But he was himself was saved because of that. So there's a lot of grace in the Old Testament, and there's a lot of things that happen. I'm giving you a little Old Testament lesson here, that God wasn't necessarily pleased about. God didn't endorse everything that happened in the Old Testament. Let me just say that right now. He did not endorse everything that happened in the Old Testament. But he used those people despite their flaws, which encourages me. Man, if he can use them despite their flaws, man, he can use me despite my flaws. Just don't be all self-righteous with the Old Testament, for those of you who've heard that argument before. But with Jesus, there's this supernatural revelation of grace, this fulfillment of grace that has surpassed and replaces the Old Testament. There's such another level, a grace upon grace that has come with Jesus Christ. But he is the truth as well. So on one hand, Jesus is the grace. On the other hand, he's also the truth. And so we got to find a middle ground somewhere between the truth and grace, because that's where the Bible is. The Bible talks about both grace and truth. I have another quote from you from a theologian that I really respect. This is why fresh grace is needed on top of the grace already given. The law given by Moses points in the right direction, but like Moses himself, it doesn't take us to the promised land. For that, we need the grace and truth that comes through Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. So we got to have both. We need both of that. Truth points us in the right direction with the conviction of sin. Grace brings our hearts to a place of repentance. Truth tells people where you stand, but grace lets people know you love them. There's this guy came to my office one time. I always sort of tried to figure this out many times. Came to my office one day, and he was struggling with some sexual sin. And he came into my office, and when people come to me, the grace of God just comes on me. Usually I'm just very grace-oriented and nice and sweet and trying to help someone. And I hope that's the case most of the time. Anyway, if you have any other problems, come talk to me afterwards. I'll try to get it straightened out. But he sat down, and he was telling me what was happening. And he said, would you pray with me that I'll be set free? And I was like, yes, I'll be set free. But before I prayed for him, I just had this thought, I think from the Lord, came to me. And I asked him, I said, now, are you repenting of all your sin right now, or just this one particular one you don't like? I said, because what else are you doing in your morals? And so he told me this, and he told me this. And I said, dude, I love you. This is one of those moments where I had to bring the truth a little bit. You know, I'm usually so grace-oriented, but at this moment I just had to say, look, I love you, man. I want to help you. But, dude, I just can't pray for God to deliver you from one sin. I need you to be willing to repent of them all and not just pick and choose what you want to do. You know, what kind of sexual sin you want to be in. I just like, don't we need, let me just, can I pray with you then? Boy, he got real antsy. You know, he got up and said, well, I'm out of here. I got to go and all that. I said, look, let me pray with you. No, I don't need any prayer. I want to get out of here. Because the truth, he couldn't handle the truth. You know, that Tom Cruise movie, and Jack Nicklaus, you can't handle the truth. You know, I mean, that's, you can't handle, Jack Nicklaus, anyway, what a great scene. You can't handle the truth. But anyway, for all those Marines out here, I'll tell you, you saw that anyway. We had a 100-year celebration. The Marine Corps birthday was this. 240 years of Marines. Wow. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah. We have our representative here from the Marine recruiting office. See them after the meeting. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I see that I got myself distracted. What was I saying? Anyway, the truth, he couldn't handle the truth. Now, in that moment, I just had to trust God that he would work on him and that things, I never saw him again. But I believe the word of God went into his heart and he'll change, and eventually God is going to get a hold of it. As we come, you know, as we go continue on with the series, we're going to just more and more expound upon what the Bible says about the love that God has for us, the grace that he has for us, but also the truth of his word and how important that is in our lives. And so let's, you know, keep together on this. Come, I don't want you to miss anything, but let me pray for you right now. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each person who's here this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we try to go through the scriptures and talk about the grace of God and the truth of your word. Lord, we love you this morning. I just want to pray for anybody out there who says, look, I'm really just going through some stuff and I need the grace of God to come upon my life to a new level. I need his grace. I need his help. And if that's you, just raise your hand. Let me just pray for you. Nobody's looking around at you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a bunch of folks. Got some stuff. Yeah, thank you. All those hands. I just want to pray that God's grace would come upon you now and help you get through all this stuff. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all those hands that went up, thank you so much for your grace that you pour out on us. Thank you so much for your truths that strengthen us through your word. Thank you, Jesus, that as we put the truth and grace together, that we have power in the name of Jesus. For those who are struggling physically or emotionally, I just pray at this moment as they call upon the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the truth of your word, that your grace would be poured out upon them to help them overcome whatever's going on in their life, whatever's happening, whatever struggle, whatever challenge they're facing. Now, God, I pray for your strengthening hand to be upon them. God, I know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're there for us. That your grace is made sufficient to us. But Lord, we love your truth that you are of who you are and what your word says and defines who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're saved by your grace, not by our works, but we're saved by grace.